Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR with the people who are getting it done. So we are actually, I'm still live on site. I'm literally looking at a gorgeous view in Chicago at the SHRM 13 conference. It is a wonderful day. So, but we want to get to our guests and see what amazing things that she has going on in her world. So, Lisa Kurt, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian and Nisha, for having me back.
So, let's kick it off and just have you introduce yourself to all our amazing listeners, and then we'll roll into what's top of mind after that.
Sure. Well, I am currently a president of ClearPoint Human Capital Optimization. It is an HR consulting company. So we provide HR support for small to medium-sized companies across the U.S. And then previously to that, I have over 17 years of corporate HR experience in different industries, government contracting, retail, manufacturing, call centers, and real estate, to name a few.
So. Well, you have been a you've been a very busy person. So, because those are some a pretty diverse group of industries that you have spent time with. So let's jump into your world and what's currently keeping you up at night or top of mind.
Sure. What's keeping me up at night is starting to really navigate for our small businesses, the Affordable Care Act. We're getting more and more questions on that now that it's getting closer to the fall when their open enrollment begins and 2014 when more items are supposed to be in place. So definitely that is keeping me up at night right now because we're getting almost daily calls or emails on that for our clients across the U.S. So that's something that's keeping me up at night, as well as just helping them make sure that they have the employees in the right spot within their companies and managing those employees out that need to be out.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brian.
So I know that especially where we're here at SHRM, and we have, obviously 15,000 practitioners that will be tuning in and downloading over the next week or two. So what are, where do people even start to get their head around and conceptualize what the impact is going to be to their business, to their employees, I mean, to them personally as a practitioner? Where do you even start thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is, of course, the media, which, always mentions, oh, by the way, take a look at the Affordable Care Act. It's coming down the pipeline. And then they reach out to us and say, do you know anything about this? Like, is there something that I'm supposed to be doing now? can you give me some more information, just some data points on what this is all about? So that's kind of what we help them with, as well as, we're partnering with benefit brokers too, because again, it's one of those things where you definitely need a subject matter expert out there to help with all of the legalese that go along with this.
Well, that's interesting, Lisa. Well, from a small business perspective, what businesses need to know about the Affordable Care Act? Let's just say, I just read somewhere, it's actually, today the number is 50. A business that has 50 or fewer full-time employees is not subject to a penalty for failing to provide affordable health insurance to its employees. So now there are a lot of questions in their mind. What is full time? What does that mean? So, so basically, let's dig into that. What affordable care means to a small business perspective?
Right. Well, we go with the amount of employees to start. So what we have found is that if they have fewer than even 25 employees, that they have a small business tax credit of up to 35% to offset the cost of the insurance. And then, like you mentioned, the fewer than 50 employees are exempt. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of kind of things where you could say, well, but I'm less than 50. Like, what does this mean? And, but then they have this thing about what's fewer than 25. So it's really confusing. So, go ahead.
Yeah. So another part that comes to mind is the insurance that you're providing is affordable? So what are your clients saying? What are the difficulties that they are facing? What are the questions that they are facing, you know, with respect to this Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, they're just, some of our clients have about five to 10 employees in their office, and they're just trying to find out, okay, what exactly should I be looking at, and what is this affordable care? Like, they're just looking for the minimum right now and then saying, okay, well, you know, can we partner with the benefit broker that we have, you know, that we've partnered with to get some more information? So that's kind of where we're at right now, kind of in the beginning stages of really helping these people. But it's interesting for us on the trend that we're seeing this more and more on the phone calls and the emails that we're getting.
Cool. Another thing is, the household income includes not only an employee's earnings, right? It includes wages, tips, and other compensation that they get to earn. So, and normally affordable, which is actually costing no more than 9.5% of an employee's household income. So is this insurance that companies are providing are affordable? Do you think so?
Well, you know, it's difficult because, you know, I think it's a different for difficult to say if it actually is affordable because, you know, the employees also have whatever debt that they have accumulated too. So it has to kind of look at, you know, long-term strategy for the business, like what are they going to be doing to if they are, you know, looking at an increase in the health insurance, are they going to what else is going to give with these employees? Like, how is this all going to work? Especially with those companies that have 5 to 10 employees, they don't have too many, but they need to actually retain that talent. You know, so that goes into another area as well, the retention and managing that workforce. So there's a lot of things to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, during the pre-show, we talked about, you know, retaining the good talent and then good turnover and bad turnover. So let's segue into that retention part of our workforce. What's your take on that?
Well, some of our clients, they're new in their business. They're new into the leadership role, and you know they call us for the HR support for us to coach them on, hey, what should I actually be looking at? Because I don't think that my team is performing to the extent that it can, but I'm not quite sure what the issue is. So we actually go on site and conduct focus groups and meet with the employees and find out, okay, is there a weak link that is actually hurting their business? And then also work with that owner of the business to help provide a management of that employee, whether it's helping them to find employment elsewhere by using performance management tools and corrective actions, the disciplinary approach and conversations to actually retaining those good employees during that time frame too. So Yeah, because again, a lot of our clients, you know, they don't have that that HR experience.
So Lisa, from an executive perspective, like from a business owner and or leadership, where's the conversation? If you sat down with them today, what is a conversation that you would want to try and like initiate to say kind of, you know, with the tone of how are you thinking about how this is going to impact not only the people situation, but the business climate, business situation for your business?
Yeah, I mean, the Affordable Care Act, I mean, if we're on that side of it, we're having those initial conversations with them, like, okay, what are you thinking? You know, where should we be going? What do you want to do with the business? And not only the HR side of things, but also looking at their overall financial impact of it. That's what we're working on the management side of things. Similar to that, like, okay, what are your goals? What are your sales goals, for example? What are you trying to achieve in the next month, you know, quarter, year, 5 years? And then we work with them, and we also check up with them because we help, again, to coach them and to hold them accountable indirectly because they don't have somebody else to do that, which helps them for that check-in, saying, oh, okay, you know, I need to veer this way now, you know. So that's what we work with.
Sure. That's such a macro, long-term, impactful type subject.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, you get smaller companies. I mean, they're growing a business, managing a business, and that one is, you know, the complexity of it, the impact of it. I mean, there's so much out there, and if you don't have an internal person that is actually focused on that, you either have to make the time or you've got to make the time and actually go find somebody like you and your firm to actually that specializes that and make the investment in understanding it as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. And as well as the compliance items, you know, not only are they trying to grow their business and do everything else, we also help them just make sure that they're doing the right things. Like, okay, well, you know, the simple things, like, oh, do you have your posters up, you know, in your office that are supposed to be up? You know, the things that they may not even think about because they're so focused on growing their business and the day-to-day operation that they're not looking at long-term, even though that they have it on their business plan of where they want to go.
Well, and that's I love the idea of, you know, especially where you actually have seen helping hold them accountable. You know what I mean? Because, again, they're driving the business. They're the ones responsible for payroll. I mean, so there's some things that take a priority over, like, getting educated on the impact of, you know, this new legislation, right? I mean, it's like, okay, we got to get receivables in the door. We got to make payroll. You know, we've got to deal with this new competitor. We got to deal with whatever supply chain issues. And so more than not, the educational component of how it impacts us strategically long-term is definitely not the daily priority. And so it's good to hear that you actually do have those where you are in a role where you can actually follow up and say, okay, here's the milestone. We were going to talk about this. You were going to make some – you were going to understand this, and we were going to continue the conversation. So That always encourages me with small business because being a small business owner myself multiple times, strategic unfortunately tends to be more of a luxury, which is very unfortunate because that's ultimately it's the negative Ferris wheel, right? Where you're executing, but strategically you need to really spend some time and invest in that area to get you where maybe you don't have to be as strategic or have to be as tactical all the time. So,
right. Yeah, definitely. And again, like I was mentioning is, you know, they don't have somebody else in their office to say, hey, what are we doing about this? You know, I thought that this was going to be something that we are pursuing as a business. Like the employees want to make sure that they can keep their job, the ones that actually want to stay there and do the right thing. So, yeah, they're definitely, and they're helping to drive that revenue coming in the door.
Well, so let me do a quick reset. Everybody, you're listening to Drive Through HR, and we are on with Lisa Kurt. It's Brian and Nisha today. And so go a little bit different direction, Lisa. So what are you hearing from your clients currently within the space, you know, relative to war on talent? Like it's getting worse to try and find the right people, or it's getting better. I mean, what have you heard anything? Kind of what's the landscape horizon look for things like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, in their mindset, they definitely are struggling more and more with that as companies are now growing. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, this employee now jumped ship to a competitor, you know. So retention is becoming more and more of that daily conversation, as well as what are we going to do for our branding? And that's a conversation that we have to them. Like, what are you doing with your company brand to get that in the community so that people know that they can come to you for a job, or whoever is looking in their family that hears about your company as that employer of choice. When we were, you know, really, that was several years ago when I was a part of a company where, you know, totally rebranded the whole recruitment side of it because the employees just did not even want to work there. And we did that with a whole social responsibility campaign in the community and turned it into an employer of choice. So that's what we're helping our clients with, for those people to help on the recruiting side, as well as we're helping to find that talent for their companies too.
Cool, that's great. Well, during this war for talent, do you think this health insurance or the benefits has a main role in terms of attracting better talent?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's the whole community awareness campaign and doing press releases when there's something positive going on with that small to medium sized business to make sure that the press is aware of it, to get that little blurb if they can in the newspaper or, you know, or do something with the chamber and sponsor something. So, again, getting that name out there.
Cool, that's great. And I really want to stress that press release or the communication aspect, because not only for the talent that is outside or your potential talent, but the talent within the organization that your current workforce, your best resource that you can ever have, you need to retain that. So encouraging a healthy individual to, you know, purchase the insurance coverage and whatever the benefits that is available and utilizing that is the key. So implementation and promotion of this programs are still significant, but yet challenging. So what are the difficulties that your clients are facing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, can you actually repeat that question? I heard there was a little breakup going on.
Oh, yeah. I think Brian is not on mute, I think so. So I was just saying, attracting potential talent and as well as retaining a talent inside the organization is quite important. Well, at the same time, just communicating the benefit aspect of it, and as you stressed upon that communication aspect. So I want to know, what are the challenges that are facing by your clients based on the implementation and the promotion of these health benefits and the opportunities within the organization?
Yeah, I think they're just, for our clients, they're trying to keep up with everything. They're trying to keep up with the whole navigation of all the compliance items that are going on and again, trying to run their business and trying to keep their good employees. And you know, as Brian was saying, like, you know, strategically, it's not always one of those things that they want to think about, you know, when they're driving the revenue. But we help to kind of do that check-in with them, do that one-on-one coaching session, and saying, okay, where are you going, and what are you doing? And so, yeah, with the employees, we also are helping to find out, to help them with, like, low-cost reinforcement items for the positive behavior that's actually occurring. So we provide different tips to our clients too, like, hey, it doesn't cost money to even do the simple things like writing a note saying good job, you know. So, and I think sometimes at the end of the day, it kind of helps these business owners to say, oh yeah, I have these great employees that are helping me when they're doing those positive reinforcement messages to their staff.
Especially, yeah, absolutely. That is really important, that positive reinforcement, and then modeling the behavior, especially from the leader's perspective. And we talked about implementation and then the promotion. So what are your takes on assessing the effects of laws and rules and regulations from a small business perspective?
Yeah, I think that's something that we really help them with, because they don't have to worry about it as much, because we actually help them handle it. You know, we're like, okay, make sure, you know, let's, especially when we go on site to their office, we help to, as I say, get it done for them. Like, you know, whether it is making sure their employee files are correct, or making sure their I-9 binder is in the right place, you know, with the right documentation. Those things that may seem not as important to them, but really could be important, especially if they get audited, that's what we, you know, help them with when we go on site.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yesterday I talked to a bunch of HR practitioners, and then the most, not interesting job of HR is to have these paper documents getting ready and then preparing all the personal files and stuff and all. So what are your advice to all the HR practitioners to have all the papers and all the documents, especially the legal one, getting ready on time, be there, making sure it's everything clear, everything on the file? Do you think that particular aspect can be outsourced, or is it not at all recommended?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, depending upon the company, that's a really good question. I think it depends on the company and the culture, whether or not it could be outsourced. Some people like to have, you know, that touch and feel of the paper, and some, you know, the people in the company prefer that, and then other companies prefer the progressive, technologically advanced, like, oh, we want everything online, we want it, you know, the electronic version, you know, is that going to be okay? And, you know, to upload it that way. So, yeah, and if it can be uploaded in electronic, then I think outsourced isn't a bad, you know, conversation to have. Yeah, I definitely think overall it could be. It just depends. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That is actually a great insight, because I knew that this particular question is there in a lot of HR practitioners' mind, because I had a great conversation yesterday. And another aspect is, do you advise any particular tools and technologies that they should look or they should utilize in terms of this documentation aspect alone? Any particular app or any particular tools that you are currently using or you're recommending your clients?
Yeah, well, our clients are, you know, small, the 5 to 10 employees, you know, with the small businesses, and then the medium size, sometimes they even have those in place. So I would say, you know, something to consider, this is a little bit different, is that some of benefit brokers that I know that I have worked with in the past actually have HRIS systems that are part of their overall structure. So they're actually a tool that they provide to companies, and that they could actually have security, you know, items that are built in. So different people could see different things on those employee fields. So, and some of them that you can actually upload documents in. So that's something to consider. That's a little bit unique. As a tool.
Cool, that's great. We have about 3 minutes left. So what are your best advice or your successful mantra to those business, small businesses to have a great update on whatever is happening in the laws and rules and regulations, just probably a website, probably a particular resources, or probably following one particular person. Hey, look person this, or stay tuned to this website. So you'll be able to access to all the updates, what's happening in the rules and regulations in the HR industry.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we really prefer, you know, like the SHRM and different legal updates that we get from our partners too, and the different state updates that go along, and then we pass those along to our clients so that they're kept up to date on what they need to do for their small businesses. So that's definitely what we help them with as well.
Cool, that's great. So where can people come and find you? What are your travel plans for this year? And do you have any website that you can share and your Twitter ID you can share so that people can come and find you? And if they have any questions regarding your arena of expert, they can connect with you.
Sure, absolutely. Well, our website is clearpointhco.com. My Twitter handle, I actually updated it to my married last name. So that's at Lisa A. Wachuku. The last name is Wachuku. And then I'm also on LinkedIn, and I have a Google Plus page. And we also have a Facebook page for ClearPoint Human Capital Optimization and a LinkedIn page. So there's lots of different ways that people can connect with me.
Cool, that's great. And I'm utilizing this 1 minute that I have with me right now. We have a question from our Twitter field. It's asking, holding your clients or business partners accountable to assist them in achieving their goals and drive outcomes. So how do you hold your clients accountable?
Sure. Well, we have those one-on-one check-in conversations with them, and that is something that they can talk to us with what's on their mind, with what's going on in their business, as well as we talk to them about the steps that we left the last conversations with, and also the check-in on their overall business strategy. So those are the scheduled coaching sessions that we have with those business owners on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you so much for spending your valuable time with us and all the insights that you shared that helped make small business succeed in what they do. And a pleasure talking to you. This is the first time that we are talking.
It was nice to be here, and it was a pleasure talking as well to you and meeting you in this format.
Cool. So there you go, guys. Keep the hashtag #Shrimp13 to get all the updates from Shrimp 2013 annual.